Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, January 31st, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 76. The first full paragraph beginning with, if we can answer to our satisfaction, ending with, we ask God to help us be willing. We are reading and commenting on one paragraph only this morning. Today's readers are Teresa M., reading the text, Julie E.B., reading page 164, and Robin P. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Judith R., and announcements will be Janice P.M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, January 30th, 2025, is 22,126 or 22126. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,128 or 22128. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Terry G. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, and thank you for your service, Stephanie. My name is Terry G. I'm a food addict from Pensacola, Florida. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, committed to take personal inventory when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters, practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity of being service in this month of January. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Terry G. I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Rhonda.
Hello, Stephanie and everyone. Thank you for your service. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service in January. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Rhonda R. We appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you share 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 76. We're reading that top full paragraph that begins with, if we can answer to our satisfaction, ending with, we ask God to help us to be willing. We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Teresa M., please begin reading. Good morning, Teresa. Teresa, if you can hit star 1 to unmute, please. Teresa, we can't hear you. You may need to hit star 1 to unmute. Okay, I think we're going to have to go with our backup. Robin P., are you able to read the text and share? Can I be heard?
Yeah, we can hear you.
You can be heard.
Oh, yes, you can be heard.
We can hear you.
Yep. Thought I was talking to myself. Okay, Robin P., would you be able to jump in for us?
This is Julie Eby. I have the text if she's not there.
All right. Julie, go for it.
I can jump in. This is Robin P. Can you just give me the page one more time?
Why don't we do this? Julie's got it. She's ready. And then, Robin, maybe you can do page 164. How's that?
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you.
Okay, Julie, good morning, and thank you. You're up.
All right. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Getting off the speakerphone quickly. If we can answer to our if we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step six. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove us from all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can God take them all, every one? If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us to be willing. Like I said, I'm Julie, gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. This one tiny little paragraph has completely changed my life, so I'm grateful for a chance to share about it. Step six is only covered by this one paragraph, and yet there's so much that God can do to help me to be willing. It can be a bit controversial. Some people say you just read the paragraph and you ask God to be willing. For me, my character defect, sometimes I've had to demonstrate my willingness. There's a great special edition, Misunderstood and Forgotten, by one of our fellows that goes through what really helped me, which was to just go down. This process is not in there, but one thing that helped me was to just list my character defects and then their opposites. And I would pray, please, God, help me to stop being self-centered. Teach me to look to others. Dear God, please stop me from self-seeking and teach me altruism, which is giving without expecting a return. Dear God, please keep me from dishonesty and help me to speak the truth. Dear God, keep me from, I swing from control to compliance. Dear higher power, stop me from being controlling. Teach me to follow your way. Stop me from being compliant. Teach me to speak the truth known urgently in God's time. I used to rage, and by using this step, I would pick for myself and with my sponsor an action step that demonstrated my willingness to put down my rage, which was to leave the room no matter what. And any time I'm not, and it changed my life. It changed my life so much that when I had a child who was dealing with drugs, and they were finally ready to go into, to get some help, they were willing to go into rehab, not because I put the food down. They had seen many diets come and go through the years, but because how much I changed over the years that I've been working this program, my character, my personality. And I wasn't always willing. I call my character defect sometimes my default. My God has sometimes asked me, just like I put down the fork, with God's help only. God has sometimes asked me to be willing to remove myself and do a 10-step instead of just staying in emotional situations. But God has done a miracle. I'm not always willing to let go of everyone, but I keep going back through the steps, 4 through 9 and 10 steps. So if you're just starting out, get a sponsor, get some help, and stay for the miracle. So much. I'm not perfect, but I am excellent, as a recent reading just said. Thanks.
Oh, perfect timing. And thank you so much, Julie EB. What great teamwork this morning. And we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share too. And I'll remind you when your time is up and please finish up promptly. If you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Bruce
E. I've got you, Bruce.
Janice K. Oregon.
I've got you, Janice.
Washington.
There was someone in Washington. I could not hear your name. It was super quiet.
Annabelle Z.
Oh, hey, Annabelle. Gotcha. Okay. And were there other people who wanted to share this morning?
Nancy LJ, California.
Got you, Nancy LJ. Well, here's what I have. I have Bruce E., Janice K., Annabelle Z., and Nancy LJ. Was there anyone else who wanted to get in on this first lineup? Okay, well, we'll hold here. So we're going to start with Bruce E., followed by, was there someone who wanted to get in?
Yes. Sorry, Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon.
Mary Lee R. from Oregon. Okay. So we'll stop there with getting names. So, Bruce, you're going to be up first, followed by Janice K. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. I'm Bruce E. I'm recovered. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida area, and I'm very grateful for all you guys here, guys, gals on the line, and grateful that I'm not compulsively eating today. That's awesome. After many years of doing that, you know, 25 years and regular OA, never seemed to get it, and got into this program, read the big book with a sponsor, and the obsession and compulsion seemed to lift. This big book is forever blowing my mind, you know. I mean, here, you know, I spent, I think, probably quite a bit of time on step 4 and 5 in this book. Now, all of a sudden, we get to page 76, top paragraph, and it's one paragraph on step 6. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which have we admitted are objectionable? You know, it's only like 4 or 5 sentences in it, and that's the one question. Am I willing to let God remove from me all the things which I admitted are objectionable? I know a lot of things about myself that are objectionable. You know, ego, resentment, fear, all that. Overeating, you know, manipulating, controlling. Well, am I really willing to let go of all these things? I want to get in there and control everybody. That way I feel like I'm in control. When I'm not in control, I want to feel like I'm in control. And if I try to control everybody, then I feel like I am in control. So am I really willing to let go of that one? Because when I get fearful, then I want to control everybody. So am I really willing to let go of the fear, the resentment, the anger, the retaliation? I want to get even with everybody. You know, am I really willing to let go? So I did have a sponsor once said, well, pray for the willingness if you're not willing. So that is one idea on that. But, you know, here I'm working all these steps all through the year. I've 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And now I should, you know, be willing. It says here, if we can answer to our satisfaction, we look at step 6. Now we got step 6, one paragraph. Then the next paragraph is step 7. And then the third paragraph is step 8 and 9. So, man, this bill is running us through this stuff pretty darn quick. Of course, we're working with a sponsor, and we're talking about all this stuff with him. So the willingness, that's the thing that sticks out with me. Am I really willing to let go of ego? Well, I want to, you know, I get a charge out of ego. I get a charge out of it. I get, when I get real mad, I get a charge out of getting mad. It's a negative charge, but I get it. And fear, I get a charge out of fear, but it's a negative charge. So I'm ready to I'm ready to let go of this stuff. You know, I humbly ask God to read.
That's Tom.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Next, we've got Janice K., followed by Annabelle Z. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning. This is Janice K. in Oregon. Step six is sometimes a struggle. The first time, few times I did step 6, it was quick. I have had this image of, consider for a minute, that the relationship between me and God is like a garden. And my consciousness is the gardener. And step 6 is me going through and weeding. And the first few times I went through and weeded, it was quick. I grabbed the leaves. I stripped them off the stem. I threw them away. I said, look, God, isn't it look better? And it did, because the weeds weren't as full. Program matures. It takes time. Eventually, I began hacking away at the stems, and the stems are tougher than leaves, and they take longer, and I can still fool myself that my cooperation is needed in this process. Eventually, someone suggested that when I come up against the tough ones, as I did, because those roots go deep. First of all, you have to get below ground level and rip them out. And that's a violent, sounds like a violent process. Part of becoming willing is listing the character defect and what it does to me and what it does for me. And when the what it does to me, how it defaces my character, how it wounds my people, the people in my life, when that becomes greater than, oh, look at me, aren't I powerful, or some such excuse. When what it does to me outweighs what it does for me, I become willing. The thing is, when God removes a defect of character, I get no say about when it happens or what takes its place. Compared to stripping the leaves off, what I feel like happens now are those, you've seen the disaster photos where the hurricane comes through and grabs the tree and rips it out of the ground and leaves this hole. I look at that and I think, wow, God, you take that defect. I'm not going to know what to do. And God says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Typically, in my life, when I leave something behind, when I give it to my higher power and I trust him to deal with it, it gives God room to grow. And that's why step six is when we begin to see changes happening in our lives. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Janice K. from Oregon. Next up, we've got Annabelle Z, followed by Nancy LJ. Good morning, Annabelle.
Good morning, Stephanie. My name is Annabelle. I'm a compulsive overeater in Washington State. And I'm doing the steps over, and so I'm just before step three. But something happened the other day, and this paragraph just lit it up, and that is that they say we've emphasized, so meaning like in the previous writing of the book, right before that, we've emphasized willing as being indispensable. And in, you know, it's in the spiritual experience, it's in we agnostics, it's in, you know, am I even willing to, do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe that there's a power greater than myself? There's, it's in a couple of places in we agnostics. But just that they have emphasized this willingness as being indispensable. And in the past, I've done these steps a lot. I've been in program a long time. And my willingness, if I think about it, was like, yeah, I'm willing because I'm willing to be through this. I don't want to feel the way I'm feeling. I'm willing to not feel the way I'm feeling right now. But I wasn't really willing to go through the discomfort and the not knowing of what it would be like to just not do what I want to do. And this last week, something, it was either in vision or another meeting or something I read, and it just was like, I have to want connection with God more than I want satisfaction with food. I want, so it talks about, you know, that our relationship with our Creator is blocked by worship of other things, pomp, circumstances, whatever. And it's not, if I unblock all those things, if I look at those things, and step four lets us look at those things, and step five made it real, right? I told someone else. And now I'm looking at that, am I okay with who I am without those things? One of my sponsors said, like, she told me to write, why are you so uncomfortable being with yourself? And man, that was huge. That was like a year ago, but that was really life-changing. And now to think about, I would rather have a connection with God than that satisfaction of doing my thing, my way. Oh, I'll get back to God later. Oh, I'll skip my morning meditation. Oh, I'll be fine. And the only way I can with God, which is going to keep me abstinent, is to do what he asked me to do in every moment and truly practice that 10th step of like, thy will be done throughout the day. So this willingness has changed for me, as opposed to just being willing to, I'm willing to be abstinent. It's more being willing to be uncomfortable and do the thing I don't want to do, but be in God's will and have peace in the long
run. Annabelle, that's time.
Thank you so much. That's all I have.
Thank you so much, Annabelle Z from Washington. Next up, we've got Nancy LJ, followed by Mary R. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. Good morning, moderator. Good morning, everyone. Grateful to be recovered for today. This is good. I reading this morning, I remember with my first steps, I didn't want to give up, or I just, let me start again. I couldn't give up initially cussing and gossiping. That just kept rearing its head. And my sponsor was very loving and patient with me. And she finally said, look, there's something you're getting out of this stuff. It's some juicy, fun stuff for you. So she says, what can we do about it? And I said, well, I've been praying to stop cussing. I've been praying to not, you know, to not ask probing questions. Yeah, but what can you do? You're asking God to do his part. What is your part? And what she ended up having me do was when I had a cuss, dropped an F-bomb, or gossiped, or even listened to gossip, I would have to report it to her every night. And this went on, and eventually it got more painful to report to her. It was embarrassing. Rather, it became easier to give up listening to the gossip than listening to the gossip. You know what I mean? I can't talk today. But so it stopped. God took that away from me, asking to be willing and then being transparent with my behaviors. And I'm here to report today. Since that time, I've been in and out of relapse. This last abstinence has been a little over 2 years, and the cuss words have reared their head, and a little bit of gossip, which is too much gossip in my opinion. And I haven't done that intensive work. You know, I haven't addressed it with my sponsor, my current sponsor. And I think I will go back into what I was doing, praying for the willingness and reporting a slip, because it worked before. All of this book, all of this Design for a Living works for me. But for some reason, I just, you know, I try to start, I just won't cuss today. I'm not going to listen to any gossip. It's like, I'm not going to eat any Dunkin' Donuts, you know, whatever. It's just almost the same as like trying to restrict the food. It doesn't work, right? I'm powerless over the food, and I'm powerless over the cussing and gossip, but I'm not helpless, right? And I can put the action and the work in. And I know God, if he can take away the donuts, man, anything, I'm open, and it's happened before. With the cussing.
Nancy, that's time.
So, thank you kindly. Hope I made a little bit of sense, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy LJ from California. Next up, Marilee R. Good morning, Marilee. Marilee, are you there?
Good morning.
Oh, there you are.
This is Marilee R. in Eugene, Oregon. Wow. I really appreciate the previous shows, and thank you for your service. And I was just reading this morning in the 12 and 12 on page 65. It says, since most of us are born with an abundance of natural desires, isn't it strange that we often let these far exceed their intended purpose? When they drive us blindly, or we willfully demand that they supply us with more satisfactions or pleasures than are possible or due us, that is the point at which we depart from the degree of perfection that God wishes for us here on earth. That is the measure of our character defects, or if you wish, of our sins. And step six is for me and has been the beginning of a two-way conversation with my divine director and myself. And it wasn't up until that point, I mean, that I could even consider the possibility that that I had so many character defects. And as the person before me gossip, I just realized, you know, it's a form of character assassination, and I indulge in that, and it just doesn't feel good anymore. And I'm just so grateful that the willingness is emphasized in this step, and it's like I feel like I'm on a, it's a point of to where I can just be free, and I can look at my judgments more. That one rears up too. You know, if you spot it, you got it. Anyway, thank you, and thank you for everyone that's willing to come on here and share their experience, strength, and hope. And it's a beautiful day in paradise, and I will pass with that.
Well, thank you so much, Mary Lee R. from Oregon. And before I get another lineup, let me remind you where we are. We're on page 76, excuse me, the first full paragraph, beginning with, if we can answer to our satisfaction, ending with, we ask God to help us be willing. And we read that one paragraph, and we're commenting and sharing on that paragraph only this morning. And also a reminder, if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. And also, if you can keep your share to 3 minutes, it would be amazing. We'd get a lot of people to share this morning. So if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Jeff A., California.
I've got Jeff A. from California.
Jen A., Colorado.
And Jen A. from Colorado.
Carol S.
Was that Carol S. as in Sam?
S. as in Frank.
Oh, S. as in Frank. And where are you from, Carol?
Oregon.
Oregon. Gotcha. Is there anyone else who wants to get in on this next lineup? All righty, well, we'll pause here then. I've got Jeff A., Jen A., and Carol F., and Jeff, you'll be up first, followed by Jen. All righty, Jeff, good morning.
Hi, my name's Jeff A. in California. God. I read the big book, and I've done a lot, the 12 and 12, especially step six. I've read it a bunch in the last month. It's like, oh God. Right now I do have food neutrality. But the emotional benders that I have been doing sometimes have been really kind of like, I did the birthday party, the 2-hour emotional sobriety workshop, and I had to actually call or and text people in my God squad that this was a hard thing, because you know, having the true neutrality is just the for me, it became just the beginning. I mean, in the beginning, it was impossible. I didn't have food neutrality, but now that I have that every day, one meal at a time, if I do my part, I just find out that I have more to be revealed about my attitudes that are harming me without realizing that. Anyways, the one thing that I did want to say here, though, is I'm doing the new pair of glasses, and it says when tempted to gossip or to create drama over another person's life. If I was thinking about my sister-in-law this morning, pause and ask, what is going on with me? Bad habits and compulsions cannot be conquered. The stroke brain can't say the thing outright, but they have to be replaced with their opposites. The secret to substitute for the positive rather than the negative. I will do this rather than I won't do this. It's been really helpful to me to see that I got to do the positive thing, not the negative, what I won't be doing, but that I will do this. So I will help someone today, this morning, because of XYZ, because really it's not about my sister-in-law at all.
Jeff, that's time?
It's about me. All right, thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeff A. from California. Next up, we've got Jen A. followed by Carol F. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good to hear you. Thanks for taking the meeting. It was awesome to see you at the birthday party in L.A. My name is Jen A. I am recovered in Colorado and page 76. Wow, that's really, we're turning the pages, and God is really cranking on our hearts in this area. He cranked on mine, and he still does in step 6 and 7. And in step 6 today, you know, it talks about, emphasizes willingness. You know, I really hated the word willingness. Are you willing? Are you willing? Like, I always heard that. And then somebody said to me, willingness means nothing if it's not preceded by some type of action. You know, I have to really remember that my willingness to do something, to get up early in the morning, to do these steps, to go to a meeting, I have to do it. I have to do it without any reluctance. And that's the big thing for me, is that I know that I'm really willing and ready to have God remove these things from me when I can really turn my palms upward to the ceiling. And I'm no longer gripping, you know, the seat and the armrest and trying to hold on to everything myself. Because just like it's been said this morning, an absolutely beautiful share. So excited to have a day off and be able to share this meeting with you all. I get satisfaction and pleasure holding on to the defects. And you know what? When I was born, God gave me characteristics. Characteristics that were embedded in me that are good and useful if I use them for good. However, I overuse them, I underuse them, or I don't use them at all. That's what makes those characteristics defective in my life. And this beautiful 12-step process about uncovering, discovering, and discarding these things helps me give it away and just say, you know what, maybe this isn't so useful to me. And I love in here it says, are we now ready to let God remove from us all things which we have admitted are objectionable? I don't know what's objectionable in 2016, 2017, or 2020, or 2025 today, but God keeps showing me. And then, you know what? I want that to be removed from me. I want to be separated from what used to be, because the old girl is not the girl that I want to show up anymore. The new girl that God has me being today is just so much better. but there are some things that I'm still holding on to. So I love that it says that if we won't let go, we ask God to help. And I'll just end by saying this, is that in the 12 and 12 I was reading this morning, it says in step 6, we are entirely ready to have God remove all these defects. It's A's way of stating the best possible attitude one can take in order to make what? A beginning of this lifetime job. It does not mean that we expect all of our character defects to be lifted out as the drink or the food was. A few of them may be, but with most of them, we will have to be content with patient improvement. I go patiently today, but I go with God. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Stephanie.
Oh, thank you so much, Jen A. from Colorado. Carol from Oregon, you're up. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Carol F., Oregon, compulsive overeater. I came in a little bit late, so forgive me if I'm repeating something someone else said. But the piece of this that I particularly appreciate what was shared about doing something positive instead of not doing something negative. I have found that there are things, some of my character defects are things that have provided comfort and or safety or, mainly safety for me. And unless I acknowledge the need that was met by that defect, I find myself unwilling to let go of it. So I've kind of made up my own step 6.5, which is to identify the need that was met and find a more positive way of meeting that need. And then I can let go more easily. I think it's kind of ironic that this step takes one paragraph in the book and it can take a lifetime to actually do it. It is an ongoing step for me that as things come up, I can look and see, okay, what do I need here? And how can I do that? And maybe that sounds like trying to control the whole process. It's not a matter of control, but it is insight that helps me to let go when otherwise I find some of these habits are very tenacious. That's what I wanted to share, and I'm very glad to be here. I'm very grateful for this meeting. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Carol F. from Oregon. And we have time for two more shares. Who would like to share?
Wendy M.
I've got you, Wendy M. from Colorado. We can take one more. Take one more person. There's someone who wants to share. Hit star 1. Put your name out there. Come all the way in. Sit all the way down. All right, well, Wendy, we'll go with you, and then I'm sure someone else will want to jump in. So, Wendy, you're up. Good morning.
All right, good morning. It's good to be on the line again. I was away for a long time. Stephanie, thank you so much. And it was so good to meet you in person. Yes, the birthday party was phenomenal. Just saying, you guys, it's like nothing else. It's the best feeling in the world. To see these people you've heard on the line for years or whatever, you know, on the Zoom call. So I'm Wendy. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. So when I first entered the world of step 6, I was like, yeah, whatever, sure, I'm willing. I didn't get that there are choice defects that still served me. And somebody mentioned it, but I'm going to do it as well. Gossip. So delicious, right? But here's the deal. It was delicious until it stopped being delicious. I was on the phone with my mom last night. Phenomenal, like, world-altering conversation with her. The love between us was like none other. I mean, these are the promises of the program. I was on the call with my mom for 3 hours last night, telling her that she's spectacular and actually meaning it. My insides actually matched my outsides, maybe for the first time, with this woman who I was fake with my entire life. I'm no longer fake with my mother. Anyways, but the point is, I was in the shower, I'm listening to somebody share, and they're talking about gossip, and I'm like, oh, man. All right, I wasn't perfect. I was holding on to that choice, that delicious, that character defect. And guess what? I owe an amends today. But here's the deal. The reason why this step works, you know, this step in the book, and step six, is because it feels itchy and scratchy when I am gossiping. It doesn't feel good anymore. The defect no longer serves me. What serves me is the ease and comfort of my higher power. What serves me is making an amends and changing my behavior and feeling fabulous, because it says, you know, our selfishness, it will kill us. God makes that possible. That's brilliant. We have a program where it's possible that when I am selfish into gossip to my mother about my sister, when I'm doing that, it feels awful, and God makes that possible. God is, you know, cheering for us on the sidelines going, yes, you can also let go of this, but you need my help. You cannot let go of gossip on your own. But the good news is it feels crappy. It feels horrible. Because when it feels crappy, it's Wendy. And when it feels fabulous, it's God. Thanks for letting me share it.
Oh, that's perfect timing. Wendy M. from Colorado. And we have time. We have time for someone to take a two-minute share. Who would like to share?
Teresa P. from California.
Was that Larissa?
Teresa.
Teresa. Oh, sorry. Teresa C. from California. Go for it, girl. Good morning.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm just really grateful and happy to be on this meeting and get to hear the words of life, because I've lived so long with words of death. And I thought they were, right, you know, that this my self-will run riot. And I never paid too much, six steps, be willing. Okay, yeah, I'm willing to give it to you guys. I'd write it down there. I'd say it. But I love this in-depth discussion on what willingness actually means. And, you know, I have to be willing to take some action. And practicing the opposite. And that really, that's where I find out why I do the defect anyway. One of the big ones I had was when I got married, you know, I turned my life a little over to my husband, and he wanted me to stay in the house and take care of the kids. And so I had all these big resentments because I didn't want to stay in the house all the time. Well, I did at first. Oh, this is really cool. I get to break now. But now it's boring, and now, you know, I'm like, I was acting either. And so I started blaming him for everything. It's all his fault that, you know, this is happening. And by the way, over here is not what I like. And but what I was not doing is only my part and going, Teresa, you're an adult woman, you know, you have a working body, you can go out the door, and you can just say, yeah, I'm, you know, going out the door. Love you, sweetheart. And just be loving and kind. I don't have to, just because he said it didn't mean I had to do it. And I use that, you know, I was waiting for that for years. And I still go there. And it's such a cracker for that you really get to look at. I'm 75. He's been married almost 54 years now. And what I've gotten to do is actually practice this willingness. And all kinds of physical and mental problems. And I get to
Teresa, that's time.
Good things. And thank you for letting me share. It's just like practice the positive. It helps. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Teresa C. from California. And we will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Robin P., can you please read A Vision for You?
Yes, thank you. Hi, I am Robin P., and I am a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Amen.